Shavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, page 35. Okay. Because I desire that human beings may achieve perfection, I have prescribed three methods: the path of jnana, the path of karma, and the path of bhakti. Besides these three, there are no other means of elevation. Srimad Bhagavatam 11, 20, and 6. So, Krishna's point being made here, this is the only ways to elevate yourself. There's no other methods that will do. So people may speculate about all kinds of things and think, oh, we can do this, we can do that, so many kinds of things. In other words, these are the three religions that work. Anything else doesn't work. Right? Religion means the inherent nature of something. People speculate about natures, but because they don't know the actual nature, because they haven't created it, then it won't work, right? It may seemingly get something done, but it doesn't actually get anything done. You know, like the modern concepts, things are supposed to be progressing, but are they in reality? Is the quality of human existence increasing? Maybe you have a phone that's smarter than you. Well, before it was just this dumb thing there that you had to, you know, pick up and make the numbers. Otherwise, it did nothing. Right? But that doesn't mean that the quality of the individual's life has changed. Right? Before, you could go into your house or go out for a walk and you'd be on your own. Now you can be in the toilet and people can call you. And you're expected to answer. Right? Well, before, you could at least say, I was in the toilet. You know? You understand? So the quality of life, the quality of relationships doesn't change. So they may try so many things and claim. But claiming, so many people claim all kinds of stuff. Like the secondhand car salesman claims that the car is fabulous. You know? What is it? You know, an old grandmother only drove it to church on Sundays, right? Isn't that the standard? No?
For 80 years. For 80 years.
For 80 years, yes. That's 80 days. That's not even 3 months of driving. No, that's not bad.
Of course, it's a Ford Model T, but.
Probably a Model A. Right? Yeah. So, the point is that nothing can be created outside of what Krishna has done. So, in other words, it will fall into karma, it will fall into jnana, or a mix. Right? But the point is how much of karma it will have and how much of jnana in efficiency. Right? That's the problem. Even in the Vedic, the jnanis, they're just speculating like anything, but at least there's a conclusion that it's Brahman, and that you have to adjust your life to come to the platform of Brahman. Well, the modern academics, then, what's the conclusion at all? What's the purpose of academics? Why know? Why think? What's the purpose? Just so you can think? I think so I can think. You know, that doesn't make much sense. You know, they're not even say I exist because I think. You know, it's a discussion that somebody said that, but that's not a conclusion. Right? So, there's no actual purpose. No offense.
it is said that I think, then I exist.
Yes, but is that accepted by the academy? That this is a fundamental formula of the academy. No, it's something you can discuss. Just like, you know, is socialism better? Is communism better? Is capitalism better? You know, is monarchy better? Is oligarchy better? You can discuss these things, but which one is better? Which one does the academy accept is the best? What's the best method of teaching? Right? Do you put things in? Do you draw it out? Do you do, you know, you don't do anything? You just show up and leave because the kids are playing on their phones anyway, so nobody cares. What do you do? What's the accepted?
They try to be objective.
They try. And so we give them, you know, E for effort. And where I come from, E is after D, and D is the lowest grade you can get without failing. So yes, we give them E for effort. Right? But the whole point is what is the academy accepting that this is conclusion? There isn't any. Right? Because as we discussed before, the central formula of the academy is conclusiophobia. They are afraid that if they come to a conclusion, that's the end of their life, because then they can't think anymore. So it's not that give them a conclusion and then contemplate on that. It's just free contemplating, that there's no rules, nothing governing you and everything like that. Okay. So objective means based on what? So therefore, objectivity means it's possible. So, is there God or not? Does the academy accept that? No. So then how is that objective? Because that's a possibility. It's a 50% possibility. There could be a God, there could not be a God, right? That's 50-50. So at least 50% it should be accepted that it's possible. Right? Just like in mathematical theorems, right? The whole calculus and everything is based on theorems, right? What does a theorem mean? What's the definition? That you can't prove it's wrong. No one's proving it's right, but you can't prove it's wrong. So no one can prove there's no God. So technically, God should be a theorem. So you could have your own theory that based on this principle of the God theorem, that it could work like this. That would be objective. Name me what academy will allow that. You know, unless it's a Christian academy or something. You know what I'm saying? You know, yeshiva, you know, like that. But that's they'll consider them not academic. You know what I'm saying? So in other words, the whole concept of the academy is bogus. It's just meant for mental speculation. So therefore you have gyan, but the only purpose of it is to enjoy the speculation. Right? Hence, that's why corporations are taking over the academic system, because it's so useless, it doesn't produce anybody that can do anything in the world. Right? So therefore they take it over and make the you know, all the, you know, things like probably ancient Chinese and literature, all these things are being dropped from the curriculum, because who can get a job with that? You understand? So doctors, lawyers, IT, you know, engineers, you know, a few other things, how to sit in an office all day and be happy, you know, and not freak out because it's so stupid and boring. Like that kind of stuff, then they're good. They're happy. Does that make sense? So we can see as it's gyan, but it has no conclusion. It gets you nowhere. It doesn't gain. So materially, spiritually, you get zip from it. Right? You know, it's famous that the academics are the worst paid people in the world. Right? Except in Finland. But other than that, then they're the worst paid. Right? The same brain, you want to make money, become a doctor or a lawyer. Right? Because if you become an academic, you know, that's a dead-end job. You know what I'm saying? I'm not sure you wouldn't get the same amount by working flipping burgers at McDonald's. You know? You might. You know, and less anxiety. You don't have a bunch of irate, weirdo kids bothering you. You know, you don't have to worry about burger abuse. You know? Oh, did you see the way he flipped that patty? You know, like that. This is, no. And the way he dumped those French fries into the thing, you know, like that, you know.
French fries matter.
Yeah.
No, too soon.
Oh, that's the latest buzz.
That's the thing over there.
Over there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when we say karma,
you're saying over there, and he says no, down there.
Yeah, <that's laughs>
those guys say up there. Everybody's one.
Those guys.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Does that make some sense? So in other words, we have gyan without the benefit that gyan gives you. At least in gyan, there's the idea of brahmananda. At least some reduction of material anxiety, like that,
so karma,
due to detachment.
Karma yoga and karma or jnana yoga. That's what we mean here when we mention it here as one of the three.
No, passive elevation means that's the actual path of karma and jnana. So we can say, is it karma, jnana, bhakti? Because that's the real, because it says here, I desire that human beings may achieve perfection.
Mm.
Right, so real perfection is that, but you can attain some kind of perfections with these, even if it's non-devotional.
Sometimes we say everything runs on bhakti.
It does, but that's the next step.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
So in other words, here we're trying to break it down to just so we know exactly. The idea is that we're comfortable to work with the Brahman aspect, or Paramatma, and not freak out, because we know where it fits. So the karma means the gyan, so we can see it's whatever speculative methods are there in the modern world, they don't give you anything because they have no conclusion to base on. Now, the path of karma, at least then they have a conclusion. If you're not enjoying, you know, you don't have something, some facility, then there's nothing there. Right? And so then generally those who are a little less successful or a little old school, then there's the idea of relationships being somewhat important. And if you're not, it's just a matter about going out there, getting your stuff and establishing yourself, then they don't really care about people so much. But the problem is we don't see anybody being able to sustain such a karmic lifestyle. Right? The only ones that have a little bit more chance are ones that use old school or old world thought, where relationships are valuable, you're careful with your money, you don't do anything extreme. So everything's very, very careful, everything, you know, like that. And so then you maintain it. There's respect for the whole economic and social field. Right? But then, by the more modern standards, then how much are they enjoying? How much they're restricted, right? They only stay in their own social circles, they only move at their own, do their own things and that, so they don't go out and see the world and do all this as if anybody ever does. But, you know, at least it's the idea. So again, here they're talking about you're going to be happy, you can do so many things, you're free to do anything, but you're not free to do anything, because as soon as you do something different than your friends do, you're weird. Like that. So again, we see is it's non-sustainable and it doesn't actually provide what it says it will. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the problem. So non-Vedic, we just have to immediately say that's not going to get you anywhere. But we see that they are connected to these paths of karma and jnana. So there's nothing new. Why we went into this was just to get the idea that there is nothing other than these three paths. Otherwise, you say, oh, that's there, that's India, and then we have so much over here in the outside. No, nothing. It's just karma or jnana or a combination. Right? Does that make sense? Just like I can remember nuclear physicists. If you've ever bumped into the species, super intelligent, socially dysfunctional, and at the same time, amazingly, super lusty. They're a really weird bunch. Really, really weird bunch. Like that. So they don't even get the benefits of reducing the material desire that you get in the actual path so that there's more peacefulness. So these guys are going crazy, but they have no way to express it and interact with others. How often do you meet a female nuclear physicist? And if you do, the problem is because she's also so socially dysfunctional, she doesn't even know that female thinking is there. Right? So it's really weird. Right? So, you know, so you're not getting the benefits
Or we see karma. People are totally committed to sense gratification, but from their actions, they're not actually enjoying their senses. Right? They're not enjoying their senses. So that's sad, is they take up these paths and they don't even get the benefits that they offer. Mm-hmm. That's sad. Right? So then if we come to the Vedic, those who do follow the path is recommended in the Vedas, then by karma, then you get knowledge and detachment. You understand that by following this nicely, there is nothing actually to gain. Right? So then one takes up the path of jnana. Taking up the path of jnana, then one can come to the transcendental platform. But they're limited in that they still neither can actually give the soul satisfaction. At least they can satisfy the body and the mind as much as you can satisfy dead matter. But at least there's that you've done what can be done. But the soul won't be satisfied. So if you don't use the Vedic systems, you can't even satisfy the body and mind. If you do, you can deal with that, but it doesn't satisfy the soul. So then only if karma and jnana are connected to bhakti, right? Because bhakti is the path, but because of our mentality, our conditioning, our conditioning works along the path of karma and jnana. So therefore, karma yoga, jnana yoga, as Prabhu was pointing out. That then brings us up to the path of pure bhakti. Does that make sense? So that's what Gita is talking about. So basically you say Gita and Vedanta Sutra and the Upanishads are discussing the same thing in basically a similar format. Right? They're all using the intellectual or the analytical aspect. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Yeah, because I think Upanishad means the same thing. It's the same subject matter and basically the same kind of discussion, but the flavor has slight difference. So therefore you get Shruti Prashtan for the Upanishads, Nyaya Prashtan for Vedanta Sutra, and what do they call the Gita? Smriti Prashtan. Right? So there's the evidence, the philosophical evidence, or the transcendental evidence for all three aspects are in these three literatures. Right? So
conditioning considers only karma and jnana. But sometimes when you go to devotees, they say, oh, you have such a spiritual chart, which means you have so much potential for spiritual life.
But what does spiritual mean here?
They say you have like some, there's also Jupiter or something.
But Jupiter is spiritual planet, or is
it? No, you can connect it to your spiritual master and then you can become.
No, but is that connected to a spiritual master, or that's just connected to a master? You understand? It's just you know, how you say? What would we say? Let us get this off the table, right? You know, okay? Yes? Is that astrology cannot tell anything about spiritual. You understand? They're dealing with the planets which control the modes of nature. Right? But what it is that within the realm of knowledge and devotion, there are qualities that are useful in devotional service, like being humble. Just because someone's humble, does that mean they're a devotee? If that was the case, then, you know, you take all the street dogs in India and you'd have so many great devotees. Right? You know, saying, you know, a dog in India, you know, you say, ha, they didn't know their place, they're a dog. You go anywhere else in the world, you know, you say that, they get more upset. You know, what? You're saying I'm a dog? What do you mean? You know, like that. Does that make sense?
Technically, technically, there's not a big difference between the humans and the dogs.
So true. Why do you think you're superior to me? That's just because you walk around on two legs, you think you're better than me? So. Okay. Okay? So, in other words, they point out qualities that are useful in devotional service, but they can't tell. Right? It means the 12 paths can go up that you may leave the material phenomena, but they don't know where you go when you leave. You understand? So, devotees understanding this, they're interpreting, which is not wrong, in connection with devotional service. And so then they'll say that, but it should be understood that the chart itself does not say that.
The chart talks about potential. You know, it's like talking, you know, someone has a great kitchen. So therefore, if somebody who's cooking talks to another person who's cooking, then you could say, wow, you could really cook some nice stuff in here. Right? But does the kitchen itself say great cooking? It just says great facility. That should be very, very clear. No one should get bewildered. That's why it's called apara vidya. It's not transcendental. It's the best. It's very nice to connect to Krishna. It has the best qualities, right? All the apara vidya. But unless you connect it, it's not connected. You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing. It's defining situations, not what you're going to do with it. Right? That's very important. Otherwise, it gets thought, oh no, I can see everything, I can, you know, like that. But to say that, you're supposed to be a little bit older, gray hair, be a gypsy woman, you know, have a crystal ball, and lots of bangles, and talk about some silver. Right? Yeah? Then you can say stuff like that. But otherwise, no.
Look at you and tell you that's the day of your death.
But that's there, but that's your death. What does this say? Can they tell you when you're going to surrender to Krishna? So that's the whole point. Is they can't tell actually the things that matter. They can tell you situations that are favorable. Like they can see you'll be religious minded. And so because of we knowing what qualities and that, you can tell that's useful in Krishna's service. But they can't actually tell what's going on.
Technically, every living entity can
be affected. Yes. Yes. Okay. Good? Yes.
Sorry, but how could that astrologer say about Prabhupada when he read his chart that when he reaches 80 years old, he's going to go around the world and open up so many temples? It seems so.
Because it means religious centers. That's what he sees. And so then you see that connection to what's there. You know what I'm saying? You're able to tell it connected to what's there. Just like if I say, let's say I'm talking to a Mexican, you know, and I'm saying, okay, you're going to have good food, then I say, you know, you'll have plenty of burritos and tacos. Right? Like that. So they can tell certain things like that. You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing. The science means you're taking the transcendental science and connecting it to there. But it's not that it itself can tell those things. Does that make sense? Like, you know, it's just like the mechanic can tell what condition your car is. He can't tell, you know, your mood when you drive it. You know what I'm saying? Like that, where you go. You know what I'm saying? That you go to a temple, he can't tell that. He can say you're driving on smooth roads or you're driving off-road or, you know, stuff like that. But he can't actually tell where that goes. So you put that all in the context, then you can understand. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. In the three khandhas, karma, jnana, and bhakti are prescribed as alternatives. First, I say, do karma, then I say, practice jnana, then I say, perform bhakti. They are presented and rejected. First, sakam karma is rejected in favor of nishkam karma. Then, when one rises to jnana, nishkam karma is rejected. When jnana is perfected, jnana should be rejected in order to attain me. Jnanam chamayi sansayet. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.19.1. But no scripture ever says that bhakti should be rejected at any time. The present verse says, I am rejected. This means that because karma and jnana are rejected, I am rejected. The third person verb is poetic license. The Lord identifies himself as those processes of karma and jnana. I am proposed as karma and jnana and rejected as karma and jnana, because these processes are also means of attaining him. The Lord has its spiritual and material forms. The material forms are rejected here. Sardartha Darshani 11.21.43. Right, so this was the footnote to that, you know, that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is giving here. Right? So does that make sense? So he is accepted and rejected because he is the process of karma and jnana. But he, as the process, these are the process where these aspects are rejected and these are and then bhakti is, remains. So he's saying no scripture says reject bhakti. Like that. The karma and jnana, that's given up at some point. Has to be. So, yes.
In the first line of that last paragraph where it says three kinds of karma, jnana, and bhakti.
Right.
Does Prabhupada refer to the bhakti as upasana karma?
Well, that's the topmost upasana. You can also, upasana can mean worship of demigods. So if we're rejecting upasana, it means because it's demigods. So we're accepting upasana because it means the supreme. You know, like that. Yes.
We say here that karma and jnana are rejected.
Yes.
And if we say karma yoga and jnana yoga, they technically should be also rejected or just transferred totally into bhakti. Can we say that?
It means we're rejecting the, that we're performing them for the material benefits that we get from it.
Okay, so
we're maintaining because of the devotion. So in other words, if all your activities, if the body, mind, and words are engaged in the Lord's service, body being engaged, that's your karma. Right? Your mind also has that aspect karma. Words then means the intelligence or jnana. Right? So then with the, with those, then you're connected to Krishna, so it's bhakti. So they're part. So what it means here is that I want the benefit of karma, I want the benefit of jnana. Oh, this material world is such a miserable place, you know, when will I, you know, get out of here and go back to God? That's still an attachment for jnana. But it's connected to Krishna, so then it's jnana yoga.
So a separate path.
Yeah, a separate path is rejected. And within, so you're giving up karma as itself and rejecting that for karma yoga. Jnana is be rejected for jnana, then accepted jnana yoga. Right? And then this karma and jnana yoga, then they go from having, you know, how you say, sakam, nishkam, into pure devotion. Right? So that makes sense. Yeah.
Maharaj, so what's the position of Buddhi yoga?
Buddhi yoga.
Yeah. There's bhakti yoga, there's kama yoga, jnana yoga. So, what is the position of Buddhi yoga?
Buddhi yoga is using them all together in whichever portion is necessary for the situation.
So Buddhi yoga is,
you know, it'd be like, let's say I'm studying how to make a salad. I'm studying how to make soup. I'm studying how to make bread. I'm studying how to make main courses. Okay, then all that together. Then I study, you know, the menus, the whole meal. Okay, so Buddhi yoga is the whole meal. Karma, jnana, jnana, these are parts of the meal.
So
one's using the body, one's using the mind, one's using the intelligence. But Buddhi means you're using them all at once. But it will indicate sadhana bhakti.
So it's more complicated and advanced.
It's using them all at once. We as devotees use Buddhi yoga, but we study it as karma, as jnana and jnana. Right? Because how do you use it all together? Right? You can't show them all at once. You have to separate things that study, and then you put them together and practically apply it. So Buddhi yoga is the practical application of the knowledge. Like I have knowledge of karma yoga, jnana yoga, and jnana yoga, right? Bhakti yoga. So then when I use them all together, that will be Buddhi yoga. Because it's the yoga of intelligence. It means I'm being intelligent, I'm doing what actually should be done. Right, means the knowledge of the soul. That's.
Can we see that the emphasis of Gita is on Buddhi yoga?
Yes, but in studying it, you start off. It's just like I want to do quantum physics. I start off with arithmetic. You understand, and then you build up, and then you can use it all together. Does that make sense? You know, I teach you someone a car. Okay, this is the steering wheel. Okay, these are little things you push on the floor. This is a little stick that you move around. Right, and those things in front of you, you're not supposed to hit them. Right? And so you study them separately. Then you put it all together, and at once you use them. That's why when you first start all of it at once, it becomes a little difficult. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So buddhi means it's all used together. Okay?
Yes.
Dhyana
yoga means meditation
and sitting? Yes, dhyana yoga means meditation.
This footnote continues on the next page.
The footnote continues? Wow, I'm impressed. Okay.
Large feet.
Yes. This footnote continues for the next 10 pages.
That should be a footnote to a footnote.
Yes. The BBT translation purport to this verse further elaborates on the concept that nothing exists outside the Lord. Karmakanda's section of the Vedas prescribes ritualistic sacrifices for promotion to heaven. Such sacrifices are the Lord himself. Similarly, the Upasana Kanda section of the Vedas designates different demigods as objects of ritualistic worship. And these deities are none different from the Lord himself, being expansions of the Lord's body. In the Gyanakanda section of the Vedas, different philosophical methods of analysis are presented and refuted. Such knowledge which analyzes the potency of the Supreme Lord is non-different from him. Ultimately, Lord Krishna is everything, because everything is part and parcel of the Lord's multipotencies. Although Vedic literature entices those absorbed in material duality to begin the Vedic way of life by offering them materially desirable rewards, the Vedas eventually refute all material duality by bringing one to a stage of God consciousness, wherein there is nothing different from the Supreme Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.21.43 purport. So this would also be that point where Krishna was mentioning, even as bhakti. No, he said it's not rejected. He said up here. It says, then I say perform bhakti. They are presented and rejected. So in this case, that bhakti would mean the upasana to the demigods. But actually, once you get to devotion to the Supreme Lord, there's no place where it says that should be rejected. Mayavadis may say that, but the scripture doesn't say that. Are we still here? Where are we? No, on the next page. Okay. The following should be said. The Vedas indicate Brahman both directly and indirectly. The Vedas indicate Brahman both directly and indirectly. So you're talking about Brahman itself, the transcendental position, but you're also talking about all those elements within the material world that you can engage them in activities that could elevate you to that platform of nishkarma, to the liberated platform, or you could not have that mentality, so therefore you're talking about fruita, right? So that's indirectly talking about Brahman. Because still, all the activities, all everything you're dealing with is still Krishna. Right? But you're not seeing it, the transcendental aspect of Krishna. That's the mistake. The aparavidya, because of that, if it's looked at it from the point of sakam, you can't see Krishna. If you look at it from nishkam, then you can see the Brahman platform. Right? That's why all the aparavidya, that's useful. But taking the modern, how do you see that as nishkam? Because the point is, are you supposed to be doing anything the modern culture people are doing? Where does it say you should be doing this? Does the modern culture, is there a book that says you should be doing this? It's just whatever people think at the time is what they do. So therefore, there's technically no real meaning to nishkarmya. Because the only reason you're doing it is for your own benefit. It may be a more subtle, it may have more of a broader social benefit, but the reason you're involved in it is simply, you know, your own personal gain. Does that make sense? There isn't something else. So technically in the non-Vedic, there's no such thing as nishkarmya. You may have a flavor of it. You know, working for your country or something, you know, some other thing like that. But generally, that's considered kind of top of the line. That's not your own life. Your day-to-day life is not that. That's something that you commit to. Some may do it for a lifetime, some may do it for a short time, but anybody does it, that's actually the point that they're respected because of that aspect of naishkarmya. But even then, what's the whole point? You fight for your country. Why? Because then you'll be, in your own country, be able to live a free lifestyle. You understand? So it's limited in its... where naishkarmya is applied is very limited, and its application within that is also limited. So it doesn't do so much. Mm-hmm. Yes?
It seems in a materialistic society there's a lot of naishkarmya for one's family.
That's there, but why are you in the family in the first place? You know what I'm saying? Because if it's about being liberated, then why would one be involved in the first place? So one's involved there, and that's how you make things work. Right? In other words, family life works because of that. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is that the more we're in the present working on what's there without a desire for the future result, we have to deal right now. But when we get the result, then naturally we want to, you know, be comfortable in that. So it's still the underlying. But I'm just saying it's more obvious in the non-Vedic than in the Vedic. The Vedic is still, why is anybody doing it? It's still for their own purpose. But at least it's according to an authority and there's some standards. And you actually can get those benefits. Right? You know what I'm saying? Directly, the Gyanakanda delineates the form and qualities of the Lord. Indirectly, Karmakanda delineates the Lord by recommending pious acts, which are a limb of jnana, which will lead to jnana. It is also said, I ask about the Lord, who is described in the Upanishads, Brihan Aranyaka Upanishad 9.21, and the Brahmanas desire to know the Lord by reciting the Vedas, Brihad Aranyaka Upanishad 4.4.22. Prescriptions for actions to attain rain, suns, or swarga are described in the Vedas only to produce a taste in men for Brahman. Right? Because, as we said, to do it, to gain it, there must be naishkarmya. Mm-hmm. Right? So the naishkarmya itself is not the goal, because that will only bring you to the platform of perfection. The actual point is to bring you to the point of bhakti. Right? So that's why, at one point, it's used, but then it's rejected. Just like when you're cooking, washing the pots is a very accepted process, but at some point you have to reject washing the pots for, you know, preparing all the vegetables. And once you do that, that has to be rejected then for the process of cooking. Right? So it has its use, and then it ends. Right? Does this make any sense? Yeah. So then indirectly you're saying the karma, because then you're dealing with the forms and activities that you're seeing for the benefits you'll get, but you're not seeing the Lord in it at all, meaning here the Lord in this definition meaning Brahman. But by performing those according to scripture with the proper attitude, which includes an attempt at naishkarmya, right? So then that will bring you knowledge and detachment. So it will, if you follow karma nicely, it will bring you to jnana. That's why if you follow properly brahmacharya and grihastha, it will bring you to the platform of vanaprastha sannyasa, so the path of jnana. Right? Because the knowledge and detachment comes. Does that make sense? But, so the jnana is talking directly about Brahman and understanding the transcendental position. But it's not talking about bhakti.
Will that bring you to paramatma, realization, jnana?
Not necessarily, no, because there has to be some touch of the... Because Brahman is just... See, is that what's happening is Brahman is how everything is in Krishna. Mm. Right?
Yeah.
How Krishna is everything, everything's... Krishna is everything, right? Yeah. But the point is everything is in Krishna. Mm. You know, this is Brahman, that's Brahman, it's all within Brahman. Paramatma means how he is in everything.
Yes.
It's a different...
Yes.
It's a higher, because now you're adding in his aspect. You're adding in just the impression that he is everything, but then how he has taken that step and entered. Because being Brahman, he doesn't have to do anything, because that is him. He exists in the form of Brahman. He is. But then he's doing something as entering as Paramatma.
Now there's a purpose.
Yes, there's a purpose, the mechanics, what it's doing and all. Otherwise, Brahman is the mechanics of the things that are there. But what you should be using those mechanics for, that's defined by Paramatma. Right? Right? So then the activities are proper, they're pious. But then taking that level and bringing it to where the living entity is interacting with, as a person is interacting with Supreme Lord as a person, that's based on the personality. That's based on the personal desire. That's what you're trying to get to.
But Jnana in itself will still remain on the like Brahman level.
It'll remain there. That's why it says it has to be rejected at some point. Not that we reject the platform of Brahman, but we reject it as a goal. In other words, activities getting results is not a problem, but saying that those results are the goal, that must be rejected. Right? So the knowledge and endeavor and getting results remains. But thinking that's the final cause, that's rejected. Then we're performing activities, have knowledge, performing activities, get results. Now without an attachment for those results. And then that brings us to the platform of Gyan. That brings us to the Brahman platform. But then thinking that the Brahman platform is enough, because that only basically defines our existence and the Lord's existence. But what about other aspects of the living entity and the Lord? That's not defined. Right? So Paramatma defines a little bit more than Chit, but it's only with Bhagavan that you get Ananda.
So is that sadhana bhakti will take you beyond the Brahman?
Sadhana bhakti will take you up to pure bhakti. But what we're saying is the process of jnana and yoga, they'll only get you up to... Yeah, because the point is the yogi being absorbed in Paramatma, right? Do we ever hear of ecstatic symptoms? No. Because it's just your understanding the proper how something should be used. Not technically how it's used. This is like, let's say, we know technically how to use a sound system. Okay? We know all the different things in that. But what are you supposed to be playing on that sound system? What's it for? You know what I'm saying? I make the sound system work. Right? And then the neighbors have to call up because they can hear you, you know, across, you know. Well, I guess nowadays through your 5-inch wall, but I was thinking, you know, the 20, 30 feet between houses, right? Yeah, so, like that. So that means you're not using it properly. It means technically you're using it properly. You want it loud, you turn this knob this way. You want it quiet, you turn the other way. You know what I'm saying? So that kind of thing is that you can tell how to use it technically, but how it should be used in a broader sense, that you don't know. That's the Paramatma platform. Because that's duties. Okay, if we're neighbors, we're supposed to be good neighbors, and it shouldn't be so loud the neighbors can hear. Right? Like that kind of thing. So that's the whole point. That's that level. But still, but what's the ultimate purpose of it? It's to be God conscious. So that's the bhakti. That's the part that Bhagavan comes in. So we have to get it to that platform where we understand that it's not enough that everything's in Krishna or Krishna's in everything. Right? That's why he says, he explains these two positions in the Chatur Shloki. And then the next verse he says, I'm all that, but at the same time, I'm still separate from that. Because he as a person is beyond that. Right? Those other two are just his existence and nature. But then he as a person is beyond that. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the thing we're trying to get to. Right? So, at all the little points where we could get distracted, no, but, you know, doing these activities is useful in devotional service and so many devotees we see in Bhagavatam attain perfection, you know, as householders, so therefore householder life is a very valuable and important part of devotional service, though we made a mistake. No, it can be engaged. And it's maybe a very standard and very comfortable position to engage yourself and situate yourself in devotional service. But it doesn't mean that grihastha life itself is devotional. But it's something that can be, you know, just like we said, like, are the potatoes devotional? You know, you go to the market and, you know, you're looking at the potatoes and, you know, like that. And, you know, you wanted to save some money, so you were thinking to buy some of the material potatoes, but, you know, they weren't good quality. So then you ask, how much for the spiritual potatoes over there? You know, oh yeah, that's a little, you know, like that. You know, so it's like a... You know, it's like, you know, you come over and you just walk up first, give me a kilo of the spiritual potatoes, and then the vegetable man says, oh, having a program at your house tonight, huh? Inviting over the devotees, huh? Yeah.
What time should I come?
Yeah, you don't want to know that you generally every day buy material potatoes, right? Like that. You know, so it's not that, it can be used. That's the whole point, is it's all Krishna's energy. But the point is, Maya means not using it for Krishna. Spiritual means using it for Krishna. That's the difference. Right? That's the whole point, is that we're trying to distinguish here, is that there's one thing. It's Krishna. It's illusion to think there's not one thing. But it's not, you haven't completely freed yourself from illusion if you think that understanding is all one thing is enough. No, because there's the Lord and the devotee. That's then a full understanding. Does that make sense? Yeah? Okay. Prescriptions for action, right? So that's what it means. They want to know the Lord. They're desiring. They're reciting the Veda to know the Lord. They're asking about the Lord who's described in the Vedas. They're trying to understand the Lord. So that's the actual purpose. So that's what I was saying. That's in the Upanishads. Therefore, it's not rejected. Right? Well, the Upanishads have already given up karma as a process. And so jnana is the medium. What you can see is that they're taking it to inquire about the Lord. Prescriptions for actions to attain rain, sons of Swarga, described in the Veda only to produce a taste in men for Brahman. Right? Because if I'm going to get these benefits, I'm already performing the recommended activities. Because I want these things. I want rain, sun, or swarga. Right? So then the point is I'm doing the activities, and by doing those, to do them properly, there has to be some sense of naishkarmi, at least in action. Maybe not in result. Right? Because when we say sakam or nishkam, we're defining the result. But in action itself, it always has to be nishkam if you're going to be successful. Because if you're trying to get the benefit of the result as it's happening, then how will it work? You know what I'm saying? You're cooking, let's say you're cooking, making pakoras for lunch, and as you cook them, you're eating them, then how will there be any for lunch? Right? So there must be that naishkarmya while you're cooking the pakoras.
Naishkarm in the sankarshan aspect.
Yes. Yeah, that would work. That would work. That would explain then why there's naishkarmya, but at the same time there's not. Mm-hmm. Because in knowledge you have naishkarmya. But in result, once it's there, you may not. You know. Or you may have it, but it's liberation. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that would, yeah. Yes.
Can I just request when people ask a question that they would speak up so
Okay. Yes.
How can you understand the nishkamya involved in action?
Because mentality is also there. Remember when we're saying Vasudeva means all aspects are there, right? So Sankarshan means your knowledge of the field and how things work, its purposes, its techniques, you know, just what's required. But it's static. You're not doing anything. You're not applying it. You're just understanding it. Right? And then Prajumna means you have the attitude. means you've understood the attitude for Sankarshan, but now you are cultivating the attitude. So it's actually dynamic. Right? So Sankarshan is static, and Prajumna Aniruddha and Vasudeva are dynamic. But what actually makes them work, that you get a result, is Vasudeva. Because when you have a result, that's technically static. That you have a mood or a desire, it's also static. So you can say is in action they're static, but in emotion they're dynamic. While in Sankarshan, both in emotion and in action, it's static. So only Vasudeva is actually dynamic. In both, the knowledge, the emotions, you know, the physical, the emotional, the intellectual, all of them are there. Does that make sense? Okay. So now, Sankarshan means you're performing Vasudeva. That means you have to be performing the activity, have the knowledge. You have to have the right attitude. You have to know what the goal is. So the combination between those three at once, then you can get a result. Right? Because the knowledge of the result doesn't mean you have it. Knowledge of the action doesn't mean you're doing it. Desire for a result doesn't mean that you are acting or getting. So it's only when all those three are combined, then in Vasudeva, you everything functions. So what Prabhu was mentioning here was that, but at the same time, is we do have a desire for the result. So we can't say it's naishkarmya. But at the same time, as I was pointing out, that in action, there has to be naishkarmya. So then, what he was pointing out is how to reconcile that, because how can you have and not have simultaneously? So what we're saying is in Aniruddha, you don't have naishkarmya, but in knowledge of that's what's necessary to perform the action, that's Sankarshan, there you can have naishkarmya. So it's knowledge of the need for naishkarmya, but it's not the ultimately that you is naishkarmya. Is that what it says? Yes.
Can we say that this is the platform mixed devotion service?
Yes, yes. Yes, means the karmi itself, the jnani itself, anybody who it's not pure devotion. You know, it's just with the devotee with mixed, it'll be less, and with the materialist, it'll be, that's the main point. Is that, yeah?
And when we say Vasudeva is both static and dynamic, we take...
No, Vasudeva is the dynamic aspect.
But he has static in him as well.
It means you have the knowledge of that, but it's being applied.
Okay. But we point him as Abhideya here?
Yes, Abhideya. So, the whole point is the knowledge of the activity and the technical application of the activity, they go together. So that's the representation of Sankarshan. Right? And your desire for a particular result and that gaining the result, that's the connection there between Prajumna and Aniruddha. Right? Does that make sense? So that's why, but of the main thing here, the other two are subtle, right? They're actually secondary. So if you have the knowledge, you perform the action, then results will be gained. Right? So that's why when you see is that if there's only one, you have Vasudeva. And then if there's two, then you'll have Vasudeva and Sankarshan. And then next you'll have all four. So you sometimes see Krishna alone or Vishnu alone or Krishna and Balaram or, like that. Or Ram and Lakshman, they're always together. And then sometimes you see all four of them. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah.
So Aniruddha is an aspect of the goal?
It's Prayojana, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So does that make sense? So in other words, when you have the knowledge of the relationship, you have the right attitude in relationship, and you have the understanding of the goal, then you can apply all that into action. Right? So in other words, Sankarshan is thinking, then Prajumna is feeling, Aniruddha is willing, then you can perform action as Vasudeva. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So... Okay. Prescriptions for actions to attain rain, sons of Swarga, described in the Vedas only to produce a taste in men for Brahman.
By seeing results like rain produced by sacrifice, they develop taste for the scriptures. From that taste, they begin to consider the meaning of text about Brahman and learn to discriminate between the eternal and transitory. They develop thirst for Brahman and disgust with the material world. Thus, all the scriptures are dedicated to Brahman. Right? So that's the whole point, is they're trying to get you that you have faith in the scriptures. One may ask, why all these different scriptures dealing with all these quite mundane things? It's because then by following them, one will get faith in the scriptures. And then we'll see as the scriptures are always going to be referring to Brahman. So then one starts to get an interest in Brahman. Right? So someone who has faith in the scriptures, is following the scriptures, that's the whole point. Atato Brahma Jigyasa. That person, atato, they're going to ask. Right? Otherwise, they tend to not ask. That's why in the modern, what do we need the Vedic literatures for? Right? Because they don't have that taste in the scriptures, because to get a taste, you have to follow it. Unless you follow the Vedic, you can't get the results. And if somebody says, no, we followed and didn't get the results, then we would say, no, you didn't follow. You know, there was a sentiment to follow, but technically you didn't follow. Because if you had followed the modern, then why didn't you get any results there? That's why nowadays the self-help courses and success courses are so popular, because people want to know how to technically use the modern. So if the modern can't be used without training, why would the Vedic not be able to use without training? Does that make sense?
Yes.
So, with proper training, one gets that faith. That's why they talk about everything. Like, devotees may have more faith in astrology than they would, let's say, in Gita. Ultimately, Krishna is there, but as far as practical goes, then they may consider it's not that practical, you know, having a job, this, that, blah. Does that make sense? So, that's the whole point. Does that make sense? So, trying to get one to, you follow the scripture, you have that faith to follow, that means you have to have some good qualities. Then by following, you'll get the results. Seeing the results, you get more faith. That's the meaning of manana. Right? I contemplate, I practice, then I get the results, I contemplate more, I practice more, until that brings me to realization, which means that there's no real benefit in following this for fruitive results. That brings you to the platform of jnana. Right, so now when we're accustomed to the point of Brahman, now we can be taken very easily into bhakti. Like see the four Kumaras or Sukadeva Goswami, they're already in the Brahman platform. And when they contact, immediately they take it up. Right? When Sukadeva Goswami hears about Krishna's pastimes, immediately he becomes a devotee. Or the four Kumaras smelling the tulsi leaves from the Lord's feet, immediately they become devotees. So that's the advantage. From that platform, then you can immediately surrender.
But that's the problem in the modern.
Yes.
You don't have that.
You don't have that because they don't accept authority. The main difficulty in non-Vedic cultures is the lack of respect for authority. They may in principle consider it, but they consider that I should be the authority. And then when that doesn't work out, then you reject all authority.
Because when you preach, they all agree. Nobody this time has disagreed with me when I was preaching. Everybody says it makes sense.
Yes,
of
course.
As soon as you take it into the Abhideya, ooh.
Yeah, no, that's the whole point. But the point is just keep talking on the Sambandha aspect, because that's why Sambandha Gyan is always prominent, is that then they'll see it's reasonable. Then, with time, the Agyata Sukriti increases. Then they can start to appreciate it in the application. That's why you first have association, right? Then that gets Agyata Sukriti. That increases. Then you get Shraddha. From Shraddha, you take up Sadhu Sangha. But then it has to come to, when the faith is more, then it comes to Bhajana Kriya. So actually that's three stages ahead. So right now it's just that they, whatever you say is logical, leave it at that. Then they'll think, wow, these guys make sense. And with time they'll notice no one else makes any sense. You know, and they seem to be happy, I'm not happy, so what are they doing? Like that. It's very rare. Like I can specifically only remember once, but I think there was another time. But
I had somebody come up to me. We were on the train in Manhattan. I'm not sure, go from that end down to the, what do you call it? The fabric district, or what do you call it?
Textile.
Yeah, means what train you'd have to take?
I'm not sure.
Down there? I don't know. Whatever it is. We were on the train. And I'm there with another devotee, and we're talking and laughing, and you know, it's I guess obvious to them that we're happy. And so at one point some guy comes up to and says, is there something that you guys are doing that I can also do? You know, not that, okay, you're monks, so maybe stuff you do only monks can do, but is there something you're doing I can do so I can also become happy? Like that. But that's the only time I ever had someone directly ask about Abhi Day. Like that. So it's rare. But he thought, you guys must be doing something right, right? So that's the whole point, is even being on the train dressed as devotees and just interacting as devotees is preaching. Right? Suddenly sense. It's not that you have to be saying something, it's just you're preaching.
If they ask what you're taking, that's also
what you're doing. No, they didn't. It wasn't a stoner who came up to me. I think it was a you know, probably young kind of, you know, educated kind of guy like that. So
I met a guy in Brooklyn who was like, he was definitely a stoner. So he tried out the Food for Life thing, and he said, you guys should get into producing weed. That'd be some good weed.
Oh, I see. If you had prashad weed.
Because prashad, the effect of the prashad, if we then produced, that would be great.
Weed for Life program.
Weed for Life.
Bridge preaching.
Real bridge, yeah. Brooklyn Bridge preaching.
Very bridgey.
So like in China, you can see there are many Brahma Gyan, you know.
Yes.
Why they don't take the Krishna consciousness so immediately? For them it's very difficult.
Because that's the point, is that activity is a problem. See, when you come to... because it's material, they have a weakness. And because of that weakness, that's why they can't come to Krishna consciousness. So it's only by association, then their piety increases, where they gain the faith, then they can surrender. So it just means that they need to be exposed more to Krishna consciousness to come to that state. And what holds them back will be that particular weakness. Right? So in karma, that there's activities being performed, and there's an element that, you know, there's an aspect of sacrifice, that they understand. But their attachment to the results of their actions, that's the part that holds them back, right? While with the jnani, then he doesn't have actions or anything hold him back. It's the concept of action holds them back from bhakti. Because they think spiritual means no action. So for them to be doing activities and running around and be in anxiety because the program has, you know, got to be arranged and, you know, we're late and we got to get this and that. His whole point is, I became a jnani to get rid of the anxiety that's felt from having to do activities. So for them to be in anxiety to do things for Krishna is a problem.
Yes. I mean, like here, Tom, they prefer to just sit and meditate on some.
Yes.
Hare Krishna.
Yes.
More easy for them. But
yes.
Singing is quite naive, you know, than singing.
Yeah.
Clap hand, you know.
Yes. So that's the whole thing, is that one, it's the detachment's the problem. The other one, the action is the problem. You understand?
So why should we find some way to, suitable for them?
Suitable, what is suitable? What is suitable for a jnani? What is jnani compliant?
Like maybe we are, like public kirtan.
We don't do public kirtan. We should not do public kirtan, because out of 1.2 billion people, that most of them are jnanis, and they freak out when we do public kirtan, right? Or a handful are jnanis, and so if we put the balance between a handful of guys who think they're intelligent and a bunch of people who know they're not intelligent, who actually are in a better position, they should not get benefited.
Maybe the Chinese people, they're very shy, you know, to enter this big kirtan, or,
But why are they shy? What's the main reason they're shy? Is it just inherently shy, or it's because suddenly guys in uniforms come along, grab you, put you down on your knees, and someone shoots you in the back of the head?
Yeah, free.
Yeah, so is that Chinese culture? That's just because of Chinese policy of the circle of 10. Right? Anywhere else does circle of 10? Have you ever heard it in Europe?
No.
No. So, they created themselves. So, the point is when you remove fear by devotional service, then why will they worry? I mean, if it's not allowed, circle of 10, is that what you're thinking about?
I think once in Bulgaria, Romania, something
they took it up.
Yeah, back in the Middle Ages.
Okay, yeah, yeah, but it's generally more temporary. That means they're the only ones that can, because you could say the circle of 10, only the Chinese are able to maintain sustainability, right? You know, they have that aspect. Yeah, they have that. Yeah, they have the focus. They understand the real purpose. The other ones, you know, how you say, get cold feet. You know, they don't have the determination and the focus. Okay? So point is that doesn't mean if there are those who are willing to do it, why not do it? Because then they're exposed. The reason they can't do it is not enough agyata sukriti. So how are they going to get agyata sukrita unless they come in contact? You know what I'm saying? So that's one way to get a whole bunch of people, because I do think that it's not an uncommon thing that Chinese like to go out and congregate. Right? You have open places, nice places, parks, because they still have that kind of personal element to it, means socially personal, that they like to get together and walk around and don't mind that other people are also walking around. So by going out in Harinam, if that's allowed, then you contact the maximum amount of people. You know, there's a good chance that in one of those squares that there's practically the same amount of people there is probably equivalent to some other places, the whole country. Just about, you know what I'm saying. So it's quite effective. Now, if you find that personally, because of their, you know, how you say, shyness or that, they require other things, then you find what things work. It's not that you get rid of what work, the traditional things that work, because those work on all living entities. But then what you find what's there, like go door to door. You know, and if that works, if you can go knock on someone's door and they don't show up with a shotgun, then you can do that. You know, you just might not do that in the South, right? You know, stuff like that. You have to be careful what you do where, you know what I'm saying, or what places you can go and do those things, or, you know, go to the bookshop and do a reading or something like that, or whatever it is, you find those things. But those are in addition for the specifics of the people, not that we replace the main things. That's a major mistake that anybody can make, is think that, oh, we can't apply the traditional methods. If they're allowed, why we wouldn't use them? Then if you can add to that, supplement, because they like, it's like in, Japan. One devotee was telling me the Sunday feast, you know, all the Japanese people come to there, and they're giving, you know, they're doing basically all right, but then they got to the sweet, which was simply wonderful, right? And that was the problem for them. They didn't know how to relate to it. You know, first of all, holding it with your chopsticks, you have to be very careful because they're too hard, it splits in half, right? Then the other thing was, is, you know, what did they do with it? Then one of them put some soy sauce on it. And then he ate it, and it was great. And he told everyone else, and they're all putting soy sauce, and everybody's happy, and like that. And then, you know, from then on, Sunday program was a hit. You know what I'm saying? So we have the Sunday program, just you add some soy sauce. That's
all. What I mean is, why you don't do some like group meditative chanting of Hare Krishna?
Group meditative chanting. I don't. That means they do it everywhere else. Yeah. I don't know. Like they're called yoga studios.
Like, we don't sing. We just chant, meditate, like Hare Krishna.
But it's the same thing.
I mean, just meditatively, not like, because Westerners, they are very enthusiastic and they like jumping, you know, and singing, you know, dancing, but chanting, like, something silently or, you know, meditative way.
Oh, okay, so it means we get everyone sitting down in a line and all chant Om Mani Padme Om, like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, something like that, oh, okay. But we chant Hare Krishna.
Ah, yeah. That's it. Yeah. You got to make those little prayer wheels with Hare Krishna inside.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That would probably be big, right? Hare Krishna wheels, huh? You can, but how many people actually care for Buddhism?
A lot. It's a fashion.
Okay, it's a fashion now.
Yeah.
So then, but...
You don't care.
But try it. But it doesn't mean we don't do Harinam.
No, Harinam is forbidden in China.
Okay, then you don't do Harinam. But the point is you can try it. Yoga also is big, so you can do those kind of things. You try. The point is you try whatever. That's how clever you are. But the important thing is that people should not get attached to it. In other words, that's an opening. That's not the main process. You understand? Otherwise, you see, like in Russia, they use astrology and Ayurveda as, you know, how you say, they do seminars and attract karmis and all that. Then with time, they make them devotees. But then as devotees, they're extremely attached to that karma and jnana. I mean, those aspects of Ayurveda and this, or if they attract through yoga, they're very attached to the yoga process. And so then, at some point, it comes into conflict with the concept of pure devotional service, because it's never been explained to them. Because they're just happy as that they're coming, they're being involved. But rather than they're being involved, and I should tell them what's the higher. Because in the New Age thing, there's always something beyond. So, you know, this is the first day. Get more advanced, we'll teach you the higher levels. You know, so people would go for it. You know what I'm saying? So the point is as long as it's understood that there's something beyond, that this is the beginning stage. Because everybody knows you start off at lesson one, and then you get into advanced stuff. You know, it's like when you start yoga, you look at your toes. You know, when you get advanced, you actually touch them. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
Like in Sri Sampradaya, it seems they put emphasis on meditation.
Where do they put emphasis on meditation?
In their practice.
In what practice?
Bhakti yoga.
But where? Means you're throwing this out. Means you've read it and some academic said this. And so you're trusting that the academic knew what he said because he's an academic. Where do they use meditation? It's part of the Pancharatrik system when you do deity worship that you first do all the worship of the 16 items by meditation. Then you actually do the worship. That's just part of the deity worship. We have it in our deity worship. You don't teach that in China when you do deity worship?
In China, we don't have deity worship yet.
You don't have... Nobody takes their picture and does anything with the picture.
Pictures.
But that's one of the eight deities. That is a real deity. That's the first mistake. Pictures are real deities. You know what I'm saying? Yeah? So then that's there. But the point is if people are just thinking about eating, sleeping, mating, defending, how much focus do they have? And unless they meditate on the Lord, then how are they going to do it? So, therefore, do we not say that you should hear the chanting? You've never heard that way before. Yeah, so that's the meditation. But you have to explain it that it's meditation, otherwise people don't catch it. So in other words, what we have
already does what you're looking for. You just have to learn to explain it. You know, because the point is yes, I just use the mind, and that's a focus like that, to be able to use the mind and the senses. That's a more advanced level. See, one can say, no, but people use the senses and they're not so intellectual. Yes, they use the senses without the mind. So you could say, as of the two, the mind and the senses, the mind in this case would be higher because of the subtle aspect. Well, you have the gross manifestation of the senses. So from that aspect, it's higher. So therefore, to sit in meditation would be higher than to perform action. But higher than both of these is to be able to perform action and meditation simultaneously. Does that sound good?
Yeah, it sounds good.
Sounds good. So try that. You know what I'm saying? In other words, we don't have to go outside of what we're doing. You already have to follow. We have so much metaphysics, there is nobody on the planet, no karmi, that can accommodate this and handle it. You name any system, we have way beyond. You know, just what Jarabharata's explaining, just that, you know, all these different things, it's so far beyond what anybody thinks. Right? People talk about atoms, but do they understand the atomic theory? That everything is atoms? They say it's all atoms, but that means everything goes back to atoms. That's why, you know, what is it? Dust thou art and dust thou shall, whatever it is, become, or whatever it is. Right? Because it's just earth, and then it becomes something, and then it goes back to earth. That's atomic theory. Nobody thinks about that. So they say they're scientists, but how scientific? Right? But that's all part of that. That's just a lower level, because saying that atoms are the ultimate cause, that's what we reject. No, the Supreme Lord, He's the cause of the atoms, and then atoms cause everything. Right? So the point is that we don't have to go outside. You have to think within what we have and make it work. This idea, oh, we have to do something new, something different. That's like saying there is something new in the material world. Is there anything new?
Vanity, vanity, all is vanity. There's nothing new under the sun.
Okay. Yeah. You understand? 1.2 billion people, right? So they're all sitting there in the houses and everything like that. A new couple gets married and moves into a house. Is that new?
No.
So then what new can anybody do?
There's a changing of forms.
Yeah, that's all. But the point is the forms have to be based on principle. Otherwise, changing the form doesn't work. Right? Let's say, okay, we have this water pot, it's round, it's solid, everybody does that. Why not make one with holes in it? So, it's different, it's unique, no one else has a water pot with holes in it. You know, only one on the planet. But does it work? No, so that's the whole point. That's what we were saying before. Since speculation is there, then we'll be thinking about that, and then somebody, you know, do we use little holes, and those speculations, no, big holes, or combination of small and big holes, or, you know, that little gap in between, we could paint some colors, the outside is one color, and the inside is a different color, like that, or, you know, or we could even put a light bulb inside, so, you know, it's like that, so the light comes out, and then we can make different shapes and different patterns, like this and that, we can change the shape. The people are just going on, so the speculation, and they're happy as anything. But is it of any use? No, the foundation is totally wrong. That's what we're saying. So use the intelligence on this works, now how to make that work applied to there. We already have meditation. We already tell them to focus when they chant. So just focus, emphasize that if they like that part. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But understand that a balance is ultimately the thing you have to get to. Because you can start off with something gross, but ultimately it has to get to something subtle. You know what I'm saying? You do the form, but after a while you have to forget the form. You understand? So this whole thing of door or no door, that should work well over there. You know? You know, door of no door, you know, to get to the real door. Yeah, okay. Even beyond what they got to say. Okay?
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki, Sama Veta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nadai Gaura Premanand.